want to speak about four things. Spoke about four things last time as well. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Number two, conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags of the rocks. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. So there are four things, very simple things. The first one, the ant. Now this ant has a very slim waist. It has very delicate arms. It has long, slender legs. It has beautiful eyes. Always reminds me of the pools of Heshbon. I don't know if you read the Song of Solomon. But this ant is a very beautiful ant. Because when you look at it in the Hebrew language, it's actually a lady ant. And I think in the Authorized, it always speaks about the ant in the feminine. So in the Hebrew, in fact, in our Lunda language, you don't have any masculine or feminine, so we weren't able to translate this as accurately as the Hebrew. But in the Hebrew, it's a lady ant. This is Mother's Day. So what should a mother be like? Well, you can have a look at this little ant and see what a mother should be like. So this is a very lovely ant, this lady ant, a little mother here. She's delicate, but she's not weak. She's small. You know, you could get two or three of these ants, this particular one, on your fingernail. But also there are others that should be a bit bigger. There's some which are workers. There are some who are soldiers. Now, the amazing thing is that even these soldiers are ladies. In fact, most of the ants that you see are lady ants. You very, very rarely see a masculine, a man ant. It's all nearly always lady ants. It's strange. I was reading in Proverbs, and I was looking at the word sluggard. Not for this talk, for something else. And I noticed every time I saw the word sluggard, it was in the masculine. But every time you see the word, this ant, it's in the feminine. Because almost all the ants that we see, the lady ants, there are very few man ants, and they don't live very long either. They're very short-lived. But these lady ants, they're the workers. They're the ones that do the jobs. Some of them are very specialized jobs as well. You know, if you go down into one of these anthills, we have enormous anthills where we live in Zambia, as big as this room. And when you go down into the anthill, send these cameras down, it's absolutely amazing down there. They have gardens, most wonderful mushroom gardens, which they cultivate. They're more amazing than the hanging gardens of Babylon. Amazing things. Tiny little mushrooms, which are very good for proteins. They use homemade fertilizer. They make their own fertilizer, and it's of the highest quality. This little ant is very green. She doesn't use any chemicals, so she's very concerned with her environment around her. And there's no place like home, because when you go into that house there, it is air-conditioned as well. It is absolutely spotlessly clean. They've got all the food that is necessary. It's just the right temperature, the right humidity, and she's a good little mother, this one, isn't she? This nice little ant. When I went to Zambia, I wanted to see the elephants and the hippopotami and the crocodiles. Well, I did see a few of those, but one day I was walking up this long path, this dusty road. I used to walk every morning to pray. And you know, I'm looking around, no elephants, no hippopotamuses or whatever you call hippopotami there. And I was looking on the ground, and there I saw a little ant on the ground. We call it Nzinkanini, and that means tiny, because it is very, very tiny, this Nzinkanini, a tiny little ant. I saw this ant, and as I was watching, during the night before, a butterfly had lost its wing. Just the wing was on the ground, and this ant had found this wing. Now, you look at this tiny ant, and you looked at this big wing. I mean, it was enormous, absolutely enormous. And yet this little ant had got hold of this wing and was dragging it. It was struggling with this wing. It was meat, you see, meat to the ant. And she was going to take this home and put it into the food house. And she dragged it along, and I was absolutely amazed because, you know, it was like almost like a two-story building, but it was carrying this thing, and it was wobbling this way, and it would fall on its side and fall on this side. Then it came to a little log, very tiny to me, but enormous to this ant. And it got to this log, and I thought, you'll never get over there. But it tried. It got up, and it fell back. And it got up, and it fell back. And it got up, and it fell back. But once it got to the top, and it teetered on the top, and fell over the other side. And I thought, the tenacity of this little creature. And on it went, and it got to its tiny little hole. There was a little tiny hole in the ground. And I thought, you're finished. You'll never get that big thing down that tiny little hole. And I went on, did my prayers, and I came back. And I got back just in time to see that this ant had cut this wing. I don't know how it did it, but it managed to cut this wing into strips of beef, or whatever it was. And it was taking it down a piece at a time. And I got there just to find the last piece of this meat going down the hole. And I thought, this ant is a very, very clever little thing. It's tiny, but it's very wise. Why is it wise? Today, it's preparing for tomorrow. We have to live day by day. We have to live life to the full, but we have to remember that it's very transitory. Life is passing away. I heard on the television this week that life expectancy in Britain is 77. I don't have very long left. I didn't realise I was so old. I've got just a few years left now, if that's the case, although I think I'm going to live a lot longer than that myself. But we've got to make the most of life. But then we've got to remember, it's passing. There's going to be a future, and we need to be prepared for that future. I heard a friend of mine talking to a boy, a schoolboy, and he said to him, what are you going to do when you leave school? He said, I'm going to go to college. And he said to him, what then? Oh, he said, after college, I'll get a job. And he said, what then? He said, well, I'll get married. What then? I'll have a family. What then? I'm going to retire. What then? Then I'll go on long holidays, Madeira and... What then? I suppose then I'll get old. What then? Then I'll die. What then? And that's the question for you this morning as well. What? Now, I'm not just speaking to non-Christians this morning. I'm speaking to Christians. Because this is such a short part of our experience, of our existence. The best is on before. But now we have to be preparing for that time when we will meet the Lord and we will live with him. You can be preparing now for that day then. But if today you're not a Christian, what then when you get to the end? Now's the time to prepare for the future. I seem to be losing this thing. We used to sing a song, life at best is very brief. Do you remember it? No, you don't. You're not old enough. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. You know, like, just like the falling of a leaf, the binding of a leaf. It's a very short life that we live in. But the ant is very wise because today she's preparing for the future. Now, what about you? Are you living simply for today or are you thinking about the future? So the ant is very wise because today she's preparing for tomorrow. The second one, what was there? The conies. The conies. This is an interesting Hebrew word. It's shofan. Shofan. And the word shofan means one who hides. It's the hiding one. The coney is the one who hides. And so this little creature here, it's a creature about that size. Looks like a rabbit, but it's got short ears. It's got a short tail. And we have lots of them where we live in Zambia. They live there, and especially at the place called Kalani, which is the hospital on the side of a hill. And these creatures are very cuddly, very nice, but they're very susceptible because they have lots of enemies. The leopards love conies. They actually love these things. Not only leopards, but snakes also love them. Wild dogs love them. The eagles absolutely love these things. But more than any of those, the little boys. The boys love them because the meat is very delicious. Very delicious meat. Now, they're nice and cuddly. Now, in this country, it wouldn't happen. But in Africa, we don't have the same scruples, you see, because meat is a very scarce commodity in Africa. So these creatures live on the edge every day. You don't see them in cuddle. If anybody catches these, it's in the pot. That's the future of this little creature. Very cuddly, but a very, very precarious existence. But at Kalani, it's a very good place for them to live because Kalani is a hill made of rocks. And when you walk up those hills, there are these big rocks and there are little holes underneath the rocks. And that's where the conies love to go. Now, some conies live in trees where there are no rocks, but they don't live very long. But at Kalani, they get quite big because they live in the secure places. And the coney that is wise is the coney that hides, according to its name. It hides in a place where the young children can't get at them. And the leopards can't get at them either. It's under the rocks. So if a person is weak, and if a person is vulnerable, they need to find a good hiding place. I'm a Christian, and I have many enemies. I don't know if you realize that. Did you know that? I found life. Many of my problems began when I became a Christian. I have many enemies. There are lots of enemies trying to get the Christian to pull him or her down. And even the non-Christian needs a hiding place. I need a hiding place from the enemies of the gospel. And in this day today where there are lots of things against us, we do need a place to hide. The non-Christian, if you're not a Christian, you need a place to hide as well in that coming day. You need a place to hide from the wrath of God when all our sins will be brought into account. Where can I hide? What is the hiding place for the Christian? What is the hiding place for a person who doesn't yet know Christ because the enemies are there? Well, we sing a hymn. I think you'll know this one. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. The rock cleft in two. That's Jesus, you see. Jesus died on the cross. He was the rock of ages. But there's a place in that rock. He died, but he rose again. He lives. And there's a place to hide in Jesus. When you're hiding in Jesus, you're absolutely safe. We Christians need to remind ourselves of that every day. But if you're not a Christian, you need to get into that hiding place. So the ant is wise because today she's preparing for tomorrow. The coney is wise because it's weak, but it's found a strong hiding place. And the third, the locust, another Hebrew word. I'm interested in words. You can tell for that, can't you? This word is very interesting because in Hebrew it means abundance. It means millions. Millions. Great abundance. And the thing I notice about the locusts, they're wise because they order themselves. It's not all random. They order themselves. Not all the time. John the Baptist lived on locusts because where he lived there wasn't much protein. But there's 60% protein in a locust. Far more than in a chicken. Now you wouldn't believe that, would you? But you look it up, you'll find that that is true. And the Lunda tribe where I live, they love the locusts as well. They eat these things. But when you eat them, you've got to be careful. You break off the head and you break off the legs. Because the legs have got spikes here. And when you swallow it, it sticks in your throat. So you've got to make it nice and smooth to go down. So they are very weak as well. So you just between your fingers, you can crush a locust. Easily crushed. So the locusts, and there are lots of them, but you find one over here, and you find one over here, and this is where we live. You can find one over here, and one over here, and each one is a law to himself. And because he's a law to himself, he doesn't live very long. Because in our society, as I've said, food is a great problem. So white ants, locusts, grasshoppers, rats, all these are things which the local people eat. But the locust is a very tasty piece of food. But there comes a time, occasionally, where instinctively, without anybody coming to tell them, there's no leader that comes and cracks the whip, but they get together at times, and all these individual locusts, they start coming together. There's something driving them. There's some sort of urge that brings them together. And they come together in their millions, according to the name. That's what the name means, the millions. And they come together in their millions. And they organize themselves in ranks, a great army. And they start to march, all going the same direction, all in step with each other. When they're scattered here, there, and everywhere, nobody's afraid of them. But when they come together as a mighty army, and when they sprout their wings and they start to fly, and they come out like a great cloud, anywhere that they settle, they completely and absolutely destroy it. Tremendous power. Individually, they're weak. But their strength comes when they organize themselves. And when they come together. And when they form an army together. Isn't it a lesson for us today? I, as a Christian, I'm very weak. You, as a Christian, you're very weak. But sometimes God's Spirit moves again amongst us, and we see how ridiculous we are. Divided, we fall, but together, we stand. And I think in these days, God is wanting to bring his people together to form a mighty army. The Spirit is moving us to bring together. I looked outside. I couldn't see, are you Church of England here? Are you Baptist here? Are you Brethren here? Didn't see any name. Maybe you've got one round this corner, I don't know. But that's good, because these names divide. We are the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the church of God. And when we walk together, when we get together, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's nothing more powerful than the church united, indwelt, and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. So the locusts, they are wise. Why are they wise? Individually, they're weak. But together, when they organize themselves, they become a mighty army. And then the fourth word, this word lizard. This Hebrew word means poisonous. Nobody actually knows what the word means. Nobody actually knows. You've got to try and work it out from the word poisonous. Now, I have picked up many lizards, and I've never, ever been bitten by a lizard. Never. There are poisonous lizards around the world, and I don't know about Israel where this was written. Maybe there are poisonous lizards there. In the Authorized Version, it says spider. And so some of the versions say spider, and some say lizards, because no one's absolutely sure which creature it is. But I have been bitten by spiders. Spiders, I know lots of poisonous spiders out there. But a spider, you know, or a lizard. You can pick up a lizard in your hand, and it has no strength whatsoever. You can bring a spider between your fingers and crush it together. Unless it's one of these great things that you see occasionally. But even those, compared to us, they're very weak. But whether it's a lizard or a spider, it's a small, weak creature. And its habitat is down there. That's what it's telling us here. Its habitat is down. On the ground. In the dirt. In the dark places. That's where it usually is. But this spider is wise, because not all of them are like this, but some spiders, some lizards are like this. You know, lizards have sticky hands that can go up, and they're very, very amazing. They're not content with being down there. I've been down here long enough. I want to get up there. And so they climb. So the ants, they prepare. The conies, they hide. The locust, they order. And the lizard, it climbs. It climbs. It's fed up with being down where everybody else is. You know, so many Christians are like this, aren't they? There are some Christians who seem to stand out. They're different. Have you not noticed? There are a few that seem to live on a different realm. They seem to live in the rarefied atmosphere. They don't seem like the rest of the Christians. The rest of Christians seem to be down here, but they seem to live in the heavenly places. When you see them, it looks as though they've been walking in the very presence of God. What is the difference? Some people don't want to stay down here. Some people have the desire to climb up there. And that's this creature. I'm fed up with being down here. I want to get up there. And it's so audacious that it can come out from under the rock, out of the dirt, out of the dark, and it can climb up into the very palace of the king. And it can even climb onto the very throne of the king. Now that's audacity, isn't it? To climb like that. To get out from under the rock and finish up in the palace of the king. Well, I don't know whether I'm speaking to a Christian or a non-Christian. It doesn't matter. The message is the same. Are you tired of being down there? Do you want to get up there? You need to stretch out your hands. And you need to climb. In the power of God's Holy Spirit, because God has given us the invitation, tells us in Revelation that we can share the throne with him. If we have that deep desire, you don't have to be down there. We can climb into the very palace of the king. It tells us, that's the message of Ephesians. We're on the earth and yet we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We can walk those streets of gold with Christ. It depends on you to make the choice. Where do you want to be? Are you tired of being like the ordinary, normal person around us? Do you want to be extraordinary? Well, now's your opportunity to get out and to climb up and to get into the presence of the king. It's never too late. It's never too late. There's a boy I knew in Zambia. He lived in an African village. He lived in poverty. His father left him. And he was left with, he and his sister were left with his mother, a Lunda village woman. And it looked as though life, you know, he looked at all his friends round about him and he said, I don't want to be like them. He didn't want to be like them. And he started writing letters. He wrote over 1,000 letters trying to get sponsorship, like these children, just like these children. He wrote 1,000 letters and it came to absolutely nothing. But he didn't give up. He determined. He prayed and he prayed and he spent time in the presence of God. He had me praying. He had my children praying. He was absolutely determined. Today he's a PhD. He's a doctor of physics. He is in Germany at the moment. You see, he wanted to be different. You know Jake Freestone. Some of you know Jake Freestone. He has a grandmother. When she was, I think it was 92 or 93, she suddenly thought, all my life I've wanted to write a book. I'm going to do it. And she wrote a book when she was 93. And last year, what is she now? 96. She's written a second one last year. It's never too late, you see. But it's the desire, the determination of your heart. When you desire him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, it can become a reality to you. So let's take a lesson from these four little creatures today. There's none of us here that's anything special. We're not strong. Nothing special about any of us, but we can all take a lesson from these four little creatures. Number one, the ant today is thinking about tomorrow. The coney realizes weakness and so it hides. The locust, individually very weak, scattered, powerless, but coming together. Let's get together with the people of God. And number four, the lizard. You could catch it with your hand, but this one uses its hands to climb up and enter the palace of the king. Thank you. Do I pray? I said, what do you do if you pray? No, I'll let you pray.
Actually, what we'll do is we'll sing first.
Okay.